The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is found in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness, and the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, give back what was taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall live, he shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right, he shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by this. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you might be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans, because they suffered in this way. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today is one of those days with our readings where we have a lot of readings that have destruction or condemnation in them. And then we say, "This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And we always say it with, "Whew, it's a good thing we have Jesus." Now, if you would like to pull out your Bibles or your Bible apps, we will be talking about Ezekiel chapter 33, a larger portion than what you have in your bulletin there. But first, to talk with about Luke chapter 13, our gospel reading. In it, Jesus is confronted with people who are concerned about the mingling of blood with a sacrifice and this whole thing, and he wants to change how they're thinking about things. You see, Jesus is confronted with this situation where people are concerned that there might be some people who are more sinful than others lumped in with them. This concern about others being more sinful than us is an unfortunate thing we sometimes deal with. It's hard to imagine sometimes that some people could be saved even when they've done some really awful things. I mean, I've done some bad things. Sure, the Bible tells us that if you've hated someone in your heart, then it's like you've murdered them. But I haven't physically murdered somebody, right? So I must be on a different level of badness, perhaps. Our mind likes to do this trick with us sometimes. We like to think, perhaps, we are not as big or bad of a sinner as someone else. And I mean, perhaps I've been following God maybe my whole life, or certainly a lot longer than someone else who, they became a Christian on their deathbed, so can we really? I mean, they said they believe in Jesus and then they died. I mean, I don't know. They didn't get to, like, go and get baptized or something. Maybe, are they really as saved as I'm saved? I don't know. This is a problem that we perhaps struggle with again, in our heads or in our hearts. This often is a really hard thing. I had a good friend who had to deal with the fact that she was called to forgive the person who had physically murdered her brother. And she lived her whole life with this, continues to live her whole life with that trouble and that hard heart of saying, it's just hard to do that. It's really hard to forgive someone who's done this. We are so thankful that God forgives us in all things, and God can forgive even those times when we are having trouble forgiving. We have a God who loves you fully and who knows you and knows just how bad a sinner we all are and how bad a sinner you are. He knows us and he sees down to our core and sees that because of the fall of man into sin, we are all indeed rotten at our core. Each of us is there dealing with this inner rot that would pull us away from God, pull us away from godliness. Now, Jesus, trying to help others deal with this problem, tells them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, For 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? I'm new to living in a place with so much water and fruit trees. Our backyard has tons of fruit trees. If you know how to care for them, please teach me. Those grow wild. I don't know. Now, if I have all these fruit trees, and one of them is just there taking up space, cluttering up the other fruit trees that can indeed be producing better fruit, maybe I want to take care of the other one, chop it out. But someone who knows better about tending trees might say, oh, there's a way to just take better care of it, and it'll produce delicious fruit. Then you can have all the pears and apples and cherries you want. Not from the same tree, I know that much, okay? I'm not that far off. Now, someone who knows how to take care of the tree might say, don't chop it down. Let me pay extra attention to it. Really focus on it. I also love the translation we have. Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. It's a beautiful imagery for Jesus to share, especially when you realize that he's talking about you. Let me just dig around him and put some manure on him. Then you'll really give us some fruit. We are this tree at different times. This fruit of forgiving, this fruit of understanding how much we need our vine dresser to take care of us. This fruit of understanding how bad we are and letting him be the one to work goodness in us. That's what Jesus wants people that he's talking to understand. That's what he wants us to understand. We are all in need of that reminder that we are sinful. We are all in need of this watchman to tell us, look out, there is sin at the doorstep. Your own very sin would like to take you away from God. And this is where we get to our Old Testament reading in Ezekiel 33. Thank you, Joseph, for the extended reading that I made you do today. In Ezekiel 33, we have an interesting situation, and it lines up perfectly with our installation of our called teacher today. You see there at the beginning of our reading, in verse 7, God says, so you, son of man, speaking to Ezekiel, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. This is actually a repeating of the time when Ezekiel was first called into the ministry. If you go back to the beginning of Ezekiel, the book here, you read that he's a priest, and then he's given this great vision. He sees angels, he hears the voice of God, he sees the throne of God, and he's told that he's being placed as a watchman for the house of Israel. And he will share every word from the mouth of God with the people who need to hear it. Ezekiel was called to be a prophet to God's people, especially in a time when they were all turning away from God. The whole of Israel was in need of a watchman to remind them, watch out, sin and death comes for all of you. When you turn away from God, there is no life for you. Turn back to him. Repent and follow God. Listen to his ways. Devote yourself to his word. Worship him in spirit and in truth. That's Ezekiel's calling way back in chapters 1 through 3. And here, later into his ministry, he receives this reminder from God. This reminder of his calling. He's been installed, he's been placed there as this prophet to share God's word. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Placed there to remind God's people to turn back to him. It's so easy to turn away from God. It's so easy to slowly turn ourselves away. Perhaps some of you remember my favorite analogy of this, right? Where We're made with God together. God has placed us in front of him and said that we are his children. It's so easy to turn ourselves away and to walk away from God. And this call to repentance can be really hard because we think that we have to turn around and work our way back, make our way back to God and make it up to him and say, I'm so sorry, God. I shouldn't have done that. And then we just have to hope that maybe he'll forgive us. But this call to repentance for the one who's turned from God and walked away and is far from God, when the watchman calls and says, turn back in repentance, know that you are a sinner, by the time you repent and turn, God is there to meet you because he loves you and he's there with you this whole time. The entire time you've been walking further from God, he has just been following behind you, waiting for you to repent and turn back, and he's there with you. Your God knows that you are a sinner, knows that on your own you're a fruitless tree, and knows that on your own you would only have death and destruction. But he loves you enough to chase you down, throw some manure on you and remind you of your sinfulness, and call you back to him. He's given you a watchman that's different. Ezekiel was the watchman for Israel in his day and age. Even his story and his prophecy is good for us now, though, as it points us to the watchman that all the world has. Jesus, who died for the whole world, for the sins of everyone, is your watchman. Through his Holy Spirit, he calls out to you. Through his word, he reminds you to turn back to him. We just sang right before the reading of our gospel, listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Your God loves you. Jesus Christ does not want you to be chopped down and thrown away. He continues to send his Spirit through his word into your heart, calling you to repentance, to receive forgiveness. And then, as we have in the rest of our reading from Ezekiel 33 all the way into verse 20, we hear about this, the righteous one and the unrighteous one. We hear about the unrighteous one who, when he turns from his unrighteousness, when he repents and he comes to God, God is there to forgive him. And that unrighteous one can live forever. Then the righteous one, though, the one who continues to walk away and doesn't listen to that call of God, who doesn't repent and turn back to him, the one who thinks they can go it on their own, away from God's word and his will, the Bible says, though they are a, quote, quote, righteous one, they will receive death. We pick up in verse 17 of Ezekiel 33. Having heard this, yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by this. And yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just, O house of Israel. I will judge each of you according to his ways. To the one who thinks their own understanding of justice and righteousness is greater than God's, God says, I will judge you according to your ways. If you think that your righteousness is greater than mine, I'll weigh it out, and we'll see what happens. That is a sad and terrifying thing, because we know if we stood before God, even with all of our good things, even if I held every door, if I prayed nicely for every person, I walked every, I won't say little old lady, every person across the street, if I did all the right things in the world, I would still stand before God as a sinner, as unjust, as a tree that bears no good fruit. It is only when we realize that true justice has already been laid out on Jesus Christ for us, and that only in him can we find our salvation, that is when we, the unrighteous, are made righteous in his eyes. The watchman of Ezekiel calls to the whole of God's people. The watchman, Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, calls to you through his word. Repent of your sinful ways. Trust in him alone. Jesus Christ has already suffered in your place. There's no reason for you to try to take that suffering on yourself. In this season of Lent, as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the day of Easter and his resurrection, it is this time where things are indeed dark and they look dead. We have three non-fruit-bearing trees up here. If they did bear fruit, it'd be a miracle. But this is a reminder of us without Jesus Christ. We are the dead trees. We are the ones who need Jesus in our lives, and we are the ones who are made holy, fruit-bearing, good, righteous trees only because of the one who has called us out of sinfulness and into the life that he has to give. This life is yours, and through it, we know that God will continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.